I thought the scariest part of The Shining was the font.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell on 95BFM.
That's right. We've shifted forward a day in our usual Flicks and That schedule.
Here we are. G'day.
Thanks for slipping on up, mate.
It's quite similar here on a Wednesday, except there's not the kind of woozy overtones of a cocktail corner.
Yeah, we have a few things that happen on a Thursday that really precursor to quite an evening.
Yeah, and look, it's not always good to have cocktails before a film. Sometimes good.
I think any alcohol before a movie is terrible. I just fall asleep.
It can be very dangerous.
Usually it's a red wine because everyone's trying to act like smart.
Do you smuggle one in under your beret? Is it?
Oh, which is the place where you get like a feed and a wine? Is that what's it called? The IMAX? Can you still get class? That's what it is.
Yeah, you can get a gold class.
Is the food good?
You can get some kind of hot. Yeah, well.
Well, I just take BK.
No, who wants to eat a curry in a movie?
Yeah.
More to the point, who wants someone sitting next to them eating a curry in a movie?
Yeah, that's
in the
freaking
dark.
Disgusting.
Don't in the about
curry
that.
In the
yeah,
dark.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
so,
but let's wager about the proportion of curry that ends up in an actual mouth.
What kind of tray do you get? Do you get a cool as like TV lap tray, like sort of as seen on TV? Do you know? Or is it like a beanbag tray with like a hard tray on top and the beanbag sits on
No,
the
it's all it's all it's all tactile. All the instructions are in braille, so you can figure out what's going on.
But does it all fit in the cup holder? Just the whole scenario.
Just like it's just a fancy cup of soup.
Pre-chewed. So to get rid of any crunch noise, not to upset anyone.
The attendants come around treating you like a baby bird. Just a little gentle, just a gentle regurge.
Yes.
Mouth to mouth.
Speaking of gentle regurge, there's a big blockbuster out tomorrow by the name of Skyscraper. And
old mate's at the helm, eh? He is Blockbuster Harry at the moment. He just cruises around blockbusting.
It's quite mental. Looks for all money like the sort of film that that you see mocked in like Last Action Hero or Entourage or any of those things that have like stupid made up films in them.
A future crack up kind of thing.
Yeah. Because I mean, like, really the sell on this film, right, is it's a poster with The Rock doing a giant jump from a crane to a skyscraper.
Is that his name when the credits roll?
I think
The
he's,
Rock.
He's
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
He's permanently Dwayne these days.
Yeah, okay.
But how can you can't give up that nickname. It doesn't really work, does it?
Is he a New Zealander?
No, American Samoan, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
What were you saying about the
So it's all a bit ludicrous. He's a security guard. He ends up involved in a fire at the world's tallest skyscraper.
Mm. How'd the fire start?
I'm not sure.
I got a rough idea.
Cladding.
What about is he ripped as hell? He's so massive, eh?
Yes, he is enormous.
Shit is secure. If he's a security guard at that joint, don't worry about it. There shouldn't be a problem at all.
Does his body necessarily need to come into the storyline?
John, like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay, carry on.
Well,
don't worry about it.
Well, actually, John, in this film it does, because he's a war veteran who's missing a leg. So that's actually a key plot point, his physicality.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Has he got a blade or leg?
He's got some sort of like leg attachment. Will that stop him running down a crane and doing a big jump? It doesn't look like it from the trailer, but the trailer does cut off before you already see what happens next. So it does leave an element of suspense. It got me thinking about disaster
that's
films
nice
in
of
general,
trailer,
right?
To do that.
It seems like it sort of blends a bit of Die Hard with a Towering Inferno. Those two films kind of are interrelated in a way, but Skyscraper, look, it's having its cake and eating its too. It's a disaster film.
I feel like disaster movies come in waves. They seem to sort of like, oh, now we're doing volcanoes for a bit.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
now we're doing
so.
Tornadoes for a bit. A while back we just did straight out apocalypse, like something hits the earth and then it's everything happens. But this one is more, is it like the wind is a problem with the skyscraper? What's the problem with the skyscraper?
I'd say it's, I'm just at a guess. I'm going to guess it's an inside job. The old inside job.
Ghost leg.
When was peak disaster film era? Are we talking like
just
mid
before 2000s,
mid 90s to mid 2000s? Sort of
that's
a
one of them.
That's
one of them, but... arguably the first disaster film was from the 19th century. And that's when, according to film history, what's probably more of an urban legend, people ran out of the theatre because a runaway train was pulling into a station and they thought it was going to come through the screen. But it's kind of like an apocryphal story, which probably isn't true. It was it may be one of the first instances of film bullshit marketing, because that story was going around while that film was still playing to audiences.
It's so freaky.
Come see the film that scared everyone out of the theatre.
But most people are like, what's film? Hey, and then we're like, wow, what is this thing? I don't like it.
Just pay money to watch a train. It'll be fun. Yeah, so it is a genre that's been going for a very long time. But I think every sort of evolution of special effects brings with it another wave of disaster movies, right? So
Zombie movies, disaster movies?
I'm gonna say no. But
what
they do,
about like hygiene, like an airborne thing?
Hygiene movie? Is that?
Yeah.
Have you been? You remember when there were video stores, right? Just think back to when there were video stores.
You know, I like the crazies.
Just go
That's
to the hygiene section of the video store. Would have been good. I think they fall into a number of categories, right? There's natural disaster, and that's your volcano films. The Day After Tomorrow, like the environmental sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Then there'll be your like animals and creatures disaster movies, like The Swarm, right?
Critters.
A bit alien-y.
That's what I was going to ask. Aliens aren't disaster movies.
I'm going to say no, but these things can cross-pollinate.
The alien weaponry.
You did. You brought up Independence Day, so I think that definitely takes elements of the big budget spectacle disaster movie
and
fuses it with aliens.
That's more post-apocalyptic. That's a great genre there.
So you've got your animals, you've got your environment, you've got structural disaster movies. So that'll be your Towering Inferno, like a building goes up in flames, or a Poseidon Adventure.
Oh, someone's just said, disaster movies do come in waves. Poseidon Adventure, for example, boom. I think they dropped the mic.
What are the greatest? Have you got the greatest? disaster movies of
Dante's
all time?
Dante's Peak is so mint. Oh yeah, it's great.
I've got a real soft spot for the '70s crop, the ones that are already spoofed quite hard in Airplane. Maybe I like them because I like as it's probably also known here, Flying High. But I think it's because I like that film so much.
Right.
It makes me like the films that it ridiculously takes the piss out of. We talked about Die Hard 2 a while ago, like a few weeks back, and I mean that's. Like the first Die Hard was Towering Inferno. The second Die Hard is very much a sort of airplane disaster movie, right?
It's at the airport.
There's a bunch of planes circling.
Which the airport is just a shitty place anyway. And then all of a sudden there's fire and stuff.
Hard Rain? Would you rate Hard Rain as a...
What is that?
Yeah, maybe. That's pulls your environmental...
As disaster, I think maybe... what about Hail? Good Hail. What are you talking about?
The film Hard Rain.
Oh, okay. Well, go on. Why should I watch it, John?
That's flooded in town.
Yeah, the town gets flooded after heavy rain bursts the dam, and the whole town gets flooded.
Does a levee break?
Yes, basically the levee breaks.
That.
If it keeps on raining, the levee
gonna break.
Broke.
Here's a disaster movie that arguably isn't great. I've got something here somewhere. Here it is. If we just have a listen to this, let's see how strong the cell is on this sucker.
Somebody find the captain!
The captain is dead.
This time...
You gotta stop the ship!
Rush hour hits the water.
You better hang on.
And once it starts...
You're sending us right into the island.
Oh, man!
It can't stop. Speed 2, cruise control.
I just bought a condo here.
That block was already messed up.
Is Speed 2 a disaster movie?
It's not good, man.
I'm gonna say it is a disaster movie because it's a cruise ship. That's a very large object. A bus? Nah. but cruise ship, I'd say yes.
Not a lot of speed involved, though. More like inertia.
Yeah.
But man, a tough second album, really, because Speed 1 is so
album.
Good, man. Willem they couldn't get Keanu, right? So they Keanu?
No, but they did get Willem Dafoe, and that's a
in Speed 2?
Yeah, it's an eye bulging villain's performance.
I'm gonna watch that again. I didn't realize he's in Speed 2.
And look, I hate to bring other critics into this. You know, it's not like we're a club and believe all each other's opinions or anything like that. Mm. But the late, great Roger Ebert wrote a very spirited defense of Speed 2 Cruise Control in the context of a 3-star review. Like, it's still, he's still going, it's garbage. But yeah. Very enjoyable garbage.
Expensive garbage.
The review starts, "I love the summertime. I love strolling down Michigan Avenue on a balmy June evening, past the tourists and the shoppers and the lovers, and the people dawdling on their way home from work. And I love going into a theatre for a sneak preview of a summer movie and buying popcorn and settling back in my seat and enjoying a movie containing a chainsaw, an explosive device with a red digital readout that nobody will ever be able to see. This one is concealed inside a fake golf club. A villain who travels with jars of leeches to suck the copper poisoning from his blood, and so on and so on and so on. Before concluding, movies like this embrace goofiness with an almost sensual pleasure, and so, on a warm summer evening, do I."
Just hurry up and get that boat into the wharf, eh? That was my whole thing. I was like, oh, just let's see it. I want to see the CGI full swing. Let's do it.
I've never seen Speed 2, so...
Oh, guess what happens? Not a lot for ages, and then something happens.
You get some Timura Morrison, you get some Willem Dafoe.
Is Tim got an accent on in that movie, by the
no,
way?
No, no. Yeah. No, hang on, let's double check. Let's see, hang on.
Somebody find the captain!
Holding strong. No, right on. Another reason to watch that movie. Great. Okay. Does he talk about where he's from or anything like that?
I don't think there's a lot of character development. I think he's more he's more of a ship's crew.
Somebody find the captain!
No, it doesn't sound like
just
going on about the captain. I think that's basically the movie, though. That on repeat a little bit. Who is the captain?
Not sure who the captain is. They can't find him. So anyway, you could see Skyscraper this weekend. You could stay home and watch Speed 2 Cruise Control. You could watch any of the other crop of disaster films. I think we've probably, I think we've structurally worked out what those films are today, right? Like, we've kind of got those categories. They do bleed into one another a little bit. What are we missing, guys?
Texas alluded to probably one of the best disaster movies sort of on the horizon. And it's to do with the rugby world, the Soccer World Cup, whether or not England wins or not. That is quite a disaster movie waiting to happen.
Good. Thank you, BFM Public, for texting that in.
Yeah, is that when that plot strand interrelates with Brexit, it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, there
film.
Are good train movies. Yeah, there are good train. Oh, like a. Oh, what is that? There are some really good train ones actually. I just think.
There's Under Siege 2, which is on the train.
Oh, which is Under Siege 1 on the boat? Now that's a good boat movie.
Yeah, so there's a real kind of vehicle hopping thing going on in that period, isn't there?
He's just a chef. No, he ain't. Fucking, you're going to pay for it now. Yeah, great.
Look how things turned out for Steven Seagal, eh? Shit.
He plays a great black strat.
Guys, disasters, I think we're done.
Thank you very much, Steve. I'm torn as to what I'll do this weekend now. Speed 2 or... Towering Inferno, who knows?
Towering Inferno.
Just something, aided on the couch, I think, would be the way to go.
Tommy Lee Jones, Volcano, John. Get it done. Right in the middle of LA.
All right.
It is a genre, though, that I think, as you sort of alluded to with Speed 2, you kind of know what's coming, right?
Yeah, it's a bit of a...
But they're going to really draw that out with a lot of subpar acting.
Yeah, well, the volcano one's good because humans actually try to control the volcano, and it's like, stay in your lane.
Yeah, there's definitely hubris there. Unfortunately, one of the other kind of familiar things with disaster movies is they're rammed full of stock characters. Let's get an ensemble cast together and let's make it very clear who's who and what's what.
Godzilla. Disaster movies?
Combo.
Shin Godzilla's really good.
That's a combo, I think. It's part sci-fi.
Okay.
Part disaster.
All right, we could go on.
I think after the show, we'll sit down, we'll make a massive Venn diagram on the BFM whiteboard.
Figure it out.
And just get this taxonomy completely sorted out.
Thanks, Steve.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95 BFM.